Well, good evening, everybody. It's nice to have you with us. Who's here for the first time? Bless God. How's it? Good evening. Good evening. Stuart, may I need to explain a bit more, possibly? Thank you. All right. If you're here for the first time, welcome. I trust that you're going to enjoy it with us and that God is going to bless you. Who of you have been coming and listening to this series on understanding curses? Who's been coming regularly? Who of you have felt God speak to you about your life and about the limitations that are on your life? Let's quickly get one thing straight again, because I see there's stuff that people battle to understand. Number one, the Bible does speak about curses. Curses is not something that is bound to witchcraft and sorcery and stuff like that. Curses seem to be things that that Christians can also experience. I'll give you an example. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? What does the word bewitched say to you? Does that sound like a walk in the park? Hello? No, of course not. The word bewitched can only have one meaning. And in this context, the writer is saying that this church is undergoing the curse of witchcraft that is working against it. Now, I've shown you that witchcraft doesn't always mean somebody is doing spells and incantations and funny powders and burying stuff underground and doing weird things. Witchcraft also has to do with control. You know, a lot of people with their personalities try and control you. Hello? Well, what is the nature of witchcraft? The nature of witchcraft is to control. One individual tries to control another individual, and they use supernatural means to do it. And God hates it when one person controls another person. Why? Because God made us all unique, and He gave us freedom. Listen to me carefully. Even God will not control your life. Do you understand that He gave you the choice to get saved or not saved? Listen to me very carefully. God gave every man, every woman, and every child that walks this earth the freedom to choose whether they want to serve Him or not serve Him. When Lucifer was up in the heavens, he decided to turn his back against God. He went to all the angels up there, and he went to them and said, "Follow me, follow me, follow me." The Bible makes it clear that one third of the angels did follow him, two thirds of the angels remained faithful to God. But even in that process, God did not intervene and stop it, because everybody has to have the freedom to choose. What God gives is freedom. What Satan gives is bondage. Witchcraft is designed to put you in bondage. If somebody wants to take your job, they want to put you in bondage so that you get fired so that they can get your job. Do you understand? People do witchcraft for strange things. But what if the person is not doing witchcraft in that way? What if the person is simply doing witchcraft with their personality? Is that possible? There are some of you that can raise your hands now and say, "Man, I have been the victim of that witchcraft for many, many years, because there is somebody in my life that tries to control me and dominate me every day with their personality." I need you to understand something. That is still witchcraft. Because the nature of witchcraft is that one person control another person. And let me get you have to understand something. God never put you or me on this earth to be controlled by any other person. Now, I'm not saying when your boss says do it, you should tell him, "Listen, yeah, go shove it. The pastor says you can't control me." You know? Your boss says you must do something, you better do it or you won't get paid, you know, and you will get fired. But there's a difference between having to do your job and somebody using their personality to dominate you, to control you. Do you understand that that is not right? We can't allow that. Now, in any case, tonight we're going to be talking about something else. We're trying to understand what curses are, and we are trying to understand how curses work. Do me a favor. Go call them and tell them to bring that boy here. Tell them to bring him here. Tonight we're going to look at something that I think a lot of people have been victims of, and a lot of people have been having problems with. And I believe that tonight God is going to do something amazing, something wonderful, and something awesome. Come stand here. Come stand here. Take my hand. Look in my eyes. Do you want to be free? You will be free.
Take it!
Be free. In Jesus' name. Now, this is what we're going to be talking about tonight. I want you to listen, and I want you to listen carefully. I want everybody's undivided attention. If there is one message that I've shared in this series that is crucial for you to listen to, it is tonight's message. Tonight, we are going to be looking at the curse of jealousy. Look at your neighbor and say, ooh, he's talking to me. Now listen carefully. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 11 to 15. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend to the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Isaiah 14, verse 11 to 15 is a prophetic portion of scripture that speaks of who? Who do you think? It speaks of Satan. This passage gives us some insight into what caused Satan's downfall. Now, we know that he's down here and he's causing big problems. Anybody ever encounter some problems that the devil's caused? So you all know that he's very busy. You all know that he's very corrupt. You all know that he's very evil. You want to understand how he became so corrupt. You want to understand how he became so evil. This is the scripture that tells us how it all started. Now, perhaps you've figured this out already, but if not, let's take a good look at what exactly the Word of God is trying to tell us. You see, my friend, Satan's problem is in a sense twofold when you analyze the scripture. The first thing that we see if we look at the scripture is that the word I appears five times in this passage. I. What does that tell you about the devil? He's very self-centered. And he's very proud. This speaks of Satan's pride. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 6 says this. How can I say that he's full of pride? Because the New Testament gives us this insight. Speaking of leadership in the church, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and he gives him some guidelines as to what you should look at when you are allowing somebody to become a leader in the church. And he says this. He says, a leader must not be a recent convert. Or he may become conceited, which is just a very big word for full of pride, puffed up with pride, and fall under the same judgment as the devil. What is it that brought judgment on the devil? Conceit. And conceit is the same as pride. Conceit is pride. So Satan thought a lot more of himself than he should have. And let me tell you one thing. The world is full of people that think a lot of themselves, in fact, a lot more than what they should. All the eyes tell us that Satan's focus was only on himself. It was only on what was good for him. And he didn't give a hoot about anybody else. Some of you are thinking of somebody right now. Be honest. Maybe you should be thinking of yourself. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty. And you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you down to the earth and I made a spectacle of you before kings. Ezekiel 28 deals with Satan. The word of God tells us in Ezekiel 28 that the person that the prophecy is spoken of was in Eden, the garden of God. There were only three people in the garden of Eden. One was called Adam. The other one was called Eve. The third one can only be Satan, because we know the snake was in the garden of Eden. Now listen to this. Your heart became proud. on account of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor, and so I threw you down to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. That speaks of humiliation. Let me tell you one thing. If you battle with pride, if you refuse to deal with your pride, if it's all about me, 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 if you don't care about others, and if you don't care about God, you are setting yourself up for humiliation. You must understand one thing. What happened to Satan will still happen today, whether you like it or not, whether you want it or not. If you do what he did, you will experience what he experienced, because God is fair and just. If he does it to one, he has to do it to the other, otherwise God is not fair and God is not just. Now let's take a look at what God says, how God feels about pride. Pride is on the top of the list of things that God hates. Where do I get that? You ask such interesting questions. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 16. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. He starts off there. Now there's more of them, but they're not important now because we're looking at this one specific thing. He starts off there and he says, the things that are detestable to God, the number one on his list is haughty eyes. And haughty eyes is just a different way to describe pride. Remember, when somebody is full of pride, they tend to look down on others. Have you ever walked into a room and you greet somebody, and just by the way that that person greets you, the look that they give you, it's like it chills you all the way down to your spine. Because that look instantly conveys the message, you beneath me. You know, it's like when they give you their hand like that, you know, like it's just like. The eyes are talking to you. The eyes are telling you, I'm better than you. So what is one of the things that God hates? What is one of the things that God detests? It's that look in a person's eyes, because the look conveys the attitude of the heart. Doesn't the Bible say that the eyes are the windows to the soul? If somebody's soul is puffed up with pride, the place you will see it is in their eyes. And sometimes people have this way of cutting other people down with just a look. Some of you, you've had that look many times. People want to put you in your place, they give you that look. And I'm not talking about the lazy eye, you know? I'm also not talking about the kinky eye. I'm talking about that eye that looks down on you, makes you feel this big, makes you feel like you're useless and worthless. What is the number one attribute in a person's life that God hates? It's that look in your eye, because that look in your eye conveys the attitude of your heart. It conveys an attitude of pride. Let me tell you one thing. God hates people. How can you say that, Rian? Listen to this. There are six things that God hates. God hates people who are puffed up with pride and think they're better than other people. Am I better than you? No. But by the grace of God, neither are you better than me. We are on a level playing field before God. You might be better than me in certain respects, like, you know, you can fix a car and you can do this and you can do that. And I might be better than you in other respects, but when we stand before God, we are equal. Amen? You don't have more status. I don't have less status. Status down here and status before God is completely separate. Let me tell you one thing. There's a lot of people that's going to get to heaven one day and have a big shock. Because down here they were big shots, and up there they're going to be nothing. In fact, when they get up there, they're going to be told, listen, yeah, you got the wrong ticket. Go back downstairs. Hello? Yeah. Now, the Bible is also very clear in telling us what pride will lead to. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit goes before the fall. If you have pride, if you like to think of yourself as being better than others, if you like to speak down on people, if you like to look down on people, If you have that attitude on your heart, let me help you to understand what your future is guaranteed to hold. Destruction and the fall. I don't know about you, but I'm allergic to those two words. I don't want them in my life. So I'm not going to look down on you, and I'm not going to think that I'm better than you. Because I don't need that rubbish. Life is difficult enough without you causing your own destruction, without you calling a spirit of destruction upon you by the things that you do and the way that you act. Now, the second reason for Satan's fall is, in my eyes, jealousy. If you look at Isaiah 14, verse 11 to 15, then you can clearly see that Satan is trying to compete. I'm going to read it to you again. See if you can follow what I'm trying to say to you. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations. Okay, now we are told that he has fallen. We are told that he is now nothing. He's down on the earth. And now we are told why this happened. Listen to this. You said in your heart. Do you hear that? Your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. What you allow to come in your heart will control your life. This was Satan's problem. He allowed pride to enter his heart, and his whole life began to manifest this pride. Now listen to this. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. God's throne is here. He says, I'll put my throne higher. What is he doing? He's trying to compete with God, not God. If you study this carefully, you'll see that the one that he's really got an issue with is who? Jesus, the Son of God. Because you see, Satan looked at himself and he said to himself, yes, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, I am perfect in wisdom. Yes, I am perfect in beauty. And I play a mean guitar. Because he was in charge of worship, wasn't he? And all the angels tell me how wonderful I am. So why am I down here and Jesus is up there? Why is my throne, or in fact, I don't even have a throne. Why is his throne up there and I'm down here? This is what I'm going to do. I am going to kick him off his throne. And not only will I take his throne, but I'll make sure that my throne is even higher than his throne. What do you call that attitude? Jealousy. Say that word with me. Jealousy. So, Satan's problem is twofold. Number one, pride. He thinks he's better than Jesus. Number two, jealousy. He wants what Jesus has got. Do you see where the problem comes in? Now listen to this. Isaiah 14, verse 13. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. Satan was unhappy in himself. He's unhappy in his situation because his pride led him to believe that he deserved to be in a better place or have a better position than Christ. Instead of being happy with what God gave him, he was unhappy with what God gave somebody else. Let's talk about that. There's always going to be somebody that has something that you don't have. We can't all be doctors. We can't all be Miss South Africa. We can't all be the president. We can't all have this or that or whatever, you know? God made us unique. God made us individuals. Now, yes, Satan's problem. Look at this. He is not happy with his position, even though he's got a freaking brilliant position. But he's also unhappy. He's unhappy in his position, and he's also not happy that Jesus is in that position. And now this is beginning to eat at him. Ezekiel 28, verse 12 to 13. Look at how stupid this man was. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. You were the model of perfection. You were full of wisdom and you were perfect in beauty. That is God describing Lucifer. Compared to all the other angels, he was perfect. Instead of looking at himself and saying, wow, how God has blessed me. Wow, how fortunate I am. Wow, what a wonderful life I've got. Instead of looking at himself, he was looking at somebody else and missing what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessing God had given him in who he was. And you see, that is the problem with jealousy. If you're sitting here tonight and you have a problem with jealousy, then you really do have a problem. Because let me get you to understand something. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made. If you take the time to look at your life, instead of looking at everybody around you, if you take the time to look in your heart, if you take the time to listen to what God has to say about you and feel what God feels about you, you might actually begin to enjoy and love your life. But the reason why people don't do that is because they are too busy eyeballing what somebody else has got instead of focusing on what they have got. Listen to Satan's attributes. Listen to what God gave him. You were the model of perfection. The model of perfection. How much better can you get? You were full of wisdom. There was no more place to cram even a tiny little bit of wisdom extra into him. He had the full package. And you were perfect in beauty. And then he thinks he had a tough life. Who's the idiot? Somebody say, Satan. Because he had it all. But because of where his focus was, he was not happy. Every person that suffers from jealousy is a fool. Just like Satan was a fool. Because instead of seeing what God gave you, you're upset about what God gave somebody else. And that's why you will never see what God gave you, because your focus is on completely the wrong place. There are people dying every single day that have not reached any potential of why God put them down here on the earth. Neither could they ever reach it, because they never took the time to look at their life. They were so busy looking at other people's lives that they missed it completely. And you know what? One day we're all going to stand before God and give an account of our life. Do you really want God to say to you one day, man, I'm really sorry to tell you, but you missed out completely. You didn't even touch on the treasure that I put inside of you. You never even saw that treasure inside of you because you never looked at your own life. You were always looking at his life. You were always upset about the wife he has or the car that he drives or the position that she's got or, you know. This is the reality. The devil loves it when we've got this attitude because we are mimicking him. You know, sometimes people in a fit of rage will say, man, you're just like the devil. There can only be one devil, but there can be a lot of people that act like him. The reason Satan lost everything is because of what he allowed in his heart. There are two things that he allowed to touch his heart. The one is called pride. The other one is called jealousy. And the rest is history. He's nothing. Do you know what he's waiting for? It's called the lake of fire. One day, he'll pay a very dear price for allowing that attitude to come into his life. And I want to say something to you again. Hell was not created for man. It was created for Satan because of his attitude. So why do so many men choose the same attitude that Satan displayed? I don't know about you, but it would seem that Lucifer didn't have such a bad life after all. He had perfection. He had wisdom. He had beauty. It's just the same that shame that he never took the time to look at his own life because he was too busy looking at the life of others. And that is how stupid jealousy is. It makes you look at what others have, and through your discontent, you also lose the treasure that God put inside of you. I want to give you a reality check. There were two main reasons why Lucifer is no longer Lucifer. And when we talk about him now, we call him Satan. You know, Lucifer means light bearer, where Satan means accuser and destroyer. He went from light to darkness because of this attitude in his heart. How can you profess to be in the light, have these attitudes in your heart, and then think that the darkness will not come for you? Because it will. The two things that Satan allowed in his life was pride and jealousy. The reality is that those two attributes still affect millions of people today. Many of them Christians. If you think that you can somehow dodge the bullet that brought down Satan, you are deceived. God is fair in everything he does and in the way that he treats us all. If you play with the same poison that brought Satan down, then you like it, like him, will be affected by that poison, and then you are coming down. Proverbs 14 verse 30, listen to this. Proverbs 14 verse 30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots your bones. Do you hear that? A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy will rot your bones. Man, I can't even put that clearer. I don't even have to preach. I can just end the message right there. A heart at peace. In other words, if you are at peace with yourself, if you are at peace with where God has put you and what you have, if you are at peace with your little Golfie that you're driving, or you are at peace with living in the middle of Bella Vista or wherever it is, Geduld. If you are at peace with the job that you have, if you are at peace with your neighbors, at peace with your family, at peace with your friends, you don't mind that your best friend's wife is twice as sexy as yours. You don't mind that your brother-in-law is the CEO of a big company. You don't mind that your sister just brought a brand new BMW and she's driving up and down past your house three times a day. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots your bones. Listen carefully. Envy. Envy is another word for jealousy. Jealousy rots your bones. So the context here is envy or jealousy. This is what he's talking about. Now, a heart at peace will be a heart without envy, without jealousy. And the Bible says such a heart gives life to the body. And life, I want to liken to health. The Bible tells us what you need in your life to have a healthy life. What do you need? Do you need a lot of vitamins? Maybe they'll help a little bit. Do you need a good diet? Probably that'll add something to it as well. Do you need to exercise regularly? I'm sure that won't damage you. But I want to tell you something. You can take all the vitamins you want. You can work out five times a day. You can pay nutritionalists to give you the best food available, everything that money can buy to have a good, healthy life, and you will still be miserable. You will still have a dismal life, and you will still have pain, sickness, infirmity, and problems. Can I tell you why? Because envy will work like a cancer inside of you, and it'll rot away the life in your body. Can you see that envy makes people sick? There's a lot of people crying for God to be healed, hoping that he will just touch them and take away their sickness when they are causing their own sickness. Because envy is likened to poison. And the more you envy somebody else, the more you are jealous of somebody else, the more you allow poison to flow through your veins. Don't tell me when poison flows through your veins, you expect yourself to be perfect, because you won't. I want to tell you one thing. You will suffer. So A heart full of envy and a heart full of jealousy will lead to the rotting of your body, which is likened to sickness, infirmity, pain, suffering, and destruction. Listen to this. A heart at peace gives life. What if your heart is not at peace? What if you are full of jealousy, you are full of envy, and you're upset about what other people have got and what you don't have? Then the opposite of life would be death. I don't know how to put this to you more seriously. But people full of jealousy and people full of envy, death follows them everywhere. And I want to help you to understand something. Death doesn't have to take you physically for him to be playing with you. Death can touch your mind. And there's nothing happening up there. You must make decisions, but you don't know what decisions to make. Death can touch your work situation. Every time somebody has to come up for promotion, instead of it being you and you sort of like deserve it and you've worked hard for it, death touches there and they give it to somebody else. Death can touch your relationships. There are families in this world where for no real good reason, mom and dad don't get along, brother and sister don't get along, dad and son, dad and daughter, mom and uncle and auntie, nobody gets along. Why? Because the spirit of death is touching the relationship. Why? Because there's jealousy and envy in the family. You must understand one thing. Death doesn't want to just take your life. He wants to play with you before he takes you. If he takes your life, it's over. Where's the fun in that? He wants to play with you. He wants to go and play a bit at your work. Cause big problems so that death just pushes you down. He wants to play with you in your mind. He wants you to forget things. He wants you to make mistakes. He wants to cost you money. He wants to drain you financially. Ooh, he would love to bring death to your bank account. And then he watches you squirm under the pressure and he laughs at you. He thinks it's a bargain. You see, death is a reality whether you like it or not. It doesn't have to touch you physically. It can touch you emotionally. It can touch you spiritually. He comes and sits on your heart. You start suffering from depression. Nothing they do, no matter what pills they give you, no matter how much money they bless you with, no matter how wonderful a life God blessed you with, you can't experience it as a blessing. Can I tell you why? Because death touches your heart. And your heart falls apart. Listen to this one. Job chapter 5 verse 2. Envy and jealousy will kill a stupid fool. Wow, did you hear that? Envy and jealousy will kill a stupid fool. Some of you think you're not supposed to talk that way, but the Bible talks that way. Number one, the Bible calls you a stupid fool if you play around with envy and jealousy. Number two, the Bible says if you are stupid enough to play around with envy and jealousy, it will kill you. It will kill your future. It will kill your marriage. It will kill you emotionally. It will kill you spiritually. It will kill you physically, slowly but surely. It will suck the life out of you. You know, there's some people, they don't have the strength to get up in the mornings. They don't have the guts and the courage to face life. Can I tell you why? Because the spirit of death is hanging over them. And you know why? Because they call him through envy and jealousy. And if you call him, he will come. Do you hear me? If you call him, he will come. Job 5 verse 2, envy and jealousy will kill a stupid fool. There you have it, clear as day. Envy and jealousy brings death. This world is full of people who cry to God because they have no life, but they are the reason that they have no life. And God can't give you life if you keep giving it away to the devil. You pray in vain. You better change your attitude because God is not going to take his precious life, give it to you so you can hand it over to the devil. You better first change the problem so that you can start receiving that life back again. Now both pride and haughtiness, envy and jealousy work through the eyes of men. I said to you just now that prideful people tend to look down on others. How do you know when somebody thinks they are better than you? You see it in their attitude, but mostly you see it through their eyes. And it's the same with envy and jealousy. Listen to me carefully. If you could not see the car that I'm driving, you could not be jealous of me, could you? Hello? What we see with our eyes touches our heart and leads to jealousy and leads to envy. Now, do you see that? Sorry, this is wrong. Let me go there. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18 says the following, where there is no vision, people will perish. Every one of us was put on this earth for a reason. Listen to me carefully. God did not just put you down here because he did not have space for you up there. And while you're down here, he's trying to make a plan to bring you back. When God decided to put you on this earth, he had a carefully orchestrated plan for your life. You are destined for something, but the fact of the matter is, most people don't know why they are here. God gave you all the characteristics, all the tools, all the gifts, all the talents, all the traits you will ever need to be, wait for it, you. Get up for me quickly, please. Yes. Get up for me quickly, please. Get up for me quickly, please. No, you. Right. Turn around. Turn around, turn around. You don't have any of the characteristics to be her. You don't have any of the characteristics to be him. You don't have any of the characteristics to be him. No matter what you do, not one of you in this place will ever be the person that you're looking at now. So why do so many people fight to become somebody else? If God never gave you what you need to be them, do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? You know, we sit with a situation where people are envious of other people. Ooh, but I want that personality. Ooh, but I want that guts. Ooh, but I want, why can't my mind be like that one? Because God never put you on this earth to have that mind. Because his destiny for you is not along the line of this person or that person or that person. And the more you fight to be like them, the more you're fighting God. How far do you think that's going to take you? You understand why you got problems, why you got pressure on your life all the time? Thank you. You can sit down. God gave you all the characteristics, all the tools, all the gifts, all the talents, all the traits you will ever need to be you. So it's time that you discover who you are supposed to be. And stop trying to see who somebody else is so that you can try and copy their life. That's why many people's lives go nowhere. Because they want to be somebody else. You see, jealousy insists that your vision must constantly be on somebody else's life. Jealous people are always looking at somebody else's life. What's so-and-so doing? What's that one doing? What's that one doing? Because jealousy has to look. The spirit has very big eyes. He's always, oh, what's going on in that life? What's going on in that life? But you see, you are stupid if you listen to him, because all the time you're looking at somebody else, you're missing at what's right in front of you. You know, God can put wonderful doors in front of a lot of people. And those doors, you just have to reach out and open them and go through them and be blessed. But you see, here's the problem. You're so busy checking somebody else's life out that you don't even see the door that's waiting for you. And you keep going the wrong direction. How will you ever discover who you are if you're always looking at somebody else? If you keep getting upset about other people's blessings, your focus will never be on what God has blessed you with. You can't develop your blessings. Do you remember the story Jesus told about the men with the talents? One guy had 5 talents. Another guy had 3 talents. Another guy had 1 talent. The man with the 5 talents worked hard and he doubled it and God blessed him. His master blessed him. The guy with the 3 talents worked hard and he doubled them and his master blessed him. But they were focusing on their talents. Then there was another guy who went and buried his talents. And when God came back to him, his master came back to him, he still just had the talents that he received because he buried them. He never did anything with it. And he was in deep trouble. Now, how does that link up? Because I want to say something to you. Inside of you is a treasure. You have to discover what it is and begin to use it to bless God. But as long as you're looking at somebody else's life, you might as well be the man that buried his talents, because you can never develop what you have as long as you're worried about what somebody else has. And one day you will have to give an account of why your life is nowhere. If you keep getting upset about other people's blessings, sorry, I read that, Satan knows that he threw away everything because of envy and jealousy. Do you know what he's trying to do now? He hopes he can get you to follow in his footsteps, because he wants the same fate for you as he's suffering right now himself. And I remind you what the book of Job 5 verse 2 says, envy and jealousy will kill a stupid fool. If you do what Satan did, you are nothing but a stupid fool, because you have the opportunity to learn from his mistakes. A point for us to ponder. You get many different modes of transport. You get trains, you get planes, you get boats, you get cars, you get trucks, you get motorcycles. Let's imagine just for a minute that we are not people, but we are different vehicles used to transport. We put on this earth to transport the glory of God to the lost. Can you follow me in that? In that case, he might be a train. He might be a bus. I'm not saying you built like one. I'm just saying you might be one. Looking at your build, you probably a moped. She might be an aeroplane. She might be a tugboat. Now, here's the thing. He has everything inside of him to be a brilliant train. He has everything inside of him to be a brilliant bus. He has everything inside of him to be a brilliant moped. And she has everything, or she has everything inside of her to be a brilliant tugboat. And you are a plane, right? She has everything inside of her to be a brilliant plane. But what if the train is highly upset that God made her a plane and he insists on being a plane? Can that train ever fly? Hello? No, it can't. And the moped? Listen, yeah, when I went to Nigeria, I saw mopeds that thought that they were buses. They can put like 6 people on a moped, let me tell you that. I've never seen anything like that in my life. But that still doesn't make the moped a bus. Hello? Let's look at it this way. When you buy a Mercedes-Benz, you buy a decent quality car. Let's say that it's a nice Grand Tourer. You can get in it and you can go from here to Cape Town and you can step out and you can feel fresh and relaxed and happy and blessed and whatever. And it's a good car. And if you use it for that, it'll bless you and it'll serve you well and it'll take you from point A to point B. But what if you decide to go and plow the fields with it? How many of you know you're going to break it? But you see, that's what a lot of people do. Some people are supposed to be tractors. They're supposed to be plowing the fields. Can you take a tractor and go down to Cape Town with it? Well, if you have a couple of months. You see, what I'm trying to show you is jealousy will try and turn you into something that you're not supposed to be. And in the process, you'll break yourself. You will break yourself. And that is why your life can't go forward, because you're broken all the time, because you force yourself to try and do stuff you were never supposed to do, to be somebody you were never supposed to be. You don't have it in you. And that's just sad. 1 Timothy. Sorry, a lot of people simply destroy their lives because they are not content with what God gave them, and they are constantly trying to be somebody else. 1 Timothy 6 verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Listen carefully. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you see that? Contentment will lead to gain. Contentment will lead to increase. Jealous people are not content. They're highly upset that they don't have what this one has. They're highly upset that they don't have that position that that one has. That in God's eyes is discontent. Now, if contentment will lead to great gain, what will discontent lead to? Great loss. The little that you have will be taken away if your attitude is not right. Because discontent must lead to the opposite of gain, which is loss. And how do you experience loss? Say this word with me. The spirit of destruction. The spirit of death. The more discontent you have about your life, the more you call the spirit of death, the more you call the spirit of destruction. And don't tell me that you think you're going to go forward when you sleep with those two. Because you're going to go nowhere. It's going to destroy your life. Jealous people are never content, so they will never gain anything in this life. 1 Samuel 18, verse 8 to 10. Saul was very angry. This refrain upset him. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get than my kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully upon Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the harp, as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, "I will pin David to the wall." This passage, better than any other passage in the Bible, shows us exactly just how destructive the spirit of jealousy and an attitude of jealousy will be in your life. Jealousy and destruction are sisters. Don't expect to have jealousy in your heart, but destruction must leave you alone. Because when you call the one, you call the other. In Afrikaans sê ons hulle soos vinkel en koljander. Die ene soos die ander. They will come for you. Because of Saul's jealousy, he threw that spear at David. Spiritually speaking, you and I do exactly the same thing to people when we are jealous of them. Because when you harbor jealousy, if I look at him and I see the car that he drives, or I see the position that he has, or I look at his business, or I look at his house, and you know what? His wife is very creative. They've got nice ornaments. The place is painted nicely. It reflects their personality. It looks like a happy place, and I'm not happy. I walk in there, and I'm jealous. The moment I bring that into my heart, I call the spirit of destruction. Now, the spirit of destruction is operating based on what I've allowed in my heart towards him. And just like Saul took the spear and threw it at David, so the spirit of destruction through me is throwing destruction at him. Guess what? God is not impressed. Let me remind you of something. What you sow, you will reap. Also note that because of Saul's thoughts of jealousy, an evil spirit sent from God came forcefully upon him. Ooh, Rion, you can't say that. Yes, I can. Listen to this. They credited David with tens of thousands, he thought. Now, let me tell you what that's about. David went and sorted out some Philistines or whatever they were. And he crushed them. He defeated them. He annihilated them. Plus, he sorted out Goliath. And the people were so excited because, you see, the people were looking for a hero. And because of what David did, whether he killed 10,000 or he didn't, that didn't matter to nobody. They began to sing because they were excited and happy. They sang a song, Saul slays his thousands, but David slays 10,000. It probably wasn't even true. It was just people giving glory or whatever to a hero that set them free in a time of great need. But when this came to Saul's ears, it was like, what rubbish is this? How dare these people sing this about David? I'm the king. I should have this position. And listen to this. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought. What is in his heart? Jealousy. But where did it come from? The thoughts. Now, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but my kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. He became jealous because he started harboring these thoughts. What was the next step? Listen to this. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully upon Saul. If you allow thoughts of jealousy towards another person. I don't care if it's about their car. I don't care if it's about their house. I don't care if it's about their personality. You know, a lot of people, they don't like their personality. Now they got an issue with me because of mine. Listen, yeah, just deal with yourself. Probably if you drop your attitude, you might actually have a nice personality. Give yourself a chance. God doesn't create rubbish. Hello? But the moment you are jealous of somebody else, you call an evil spirit to come to you. It's going to do two things. It will work through you to try and destroy the other person's life, but it will work 10 times harder in you to destroy your own life. Hence, jealous people go nowhere in life. Because you got this evil spirit sitting on you. And look at how this thing came. Oh, I love the way that this Bible says it. The next day, an evil spirit from where? From Satan. No, an evil spirit from God. Listen to me. Galatians chapter 6. I can't remember the exact verse, but it says, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. For as a man sows, so shall he reap. If you sow jealousy, it will come for you. And the Bible says this. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully on Saul. This thing doesn't just come to take 10 cents from you. It doesn't just come to, you know, give you a little love bite. It comes forcefully to destroy your life. In the twinkling of an eye, you can lose everything if you dance with jealousy. Because when he comes for you, he doesn't come to play games. He comes to annihilate. He comes to destroy. Remember, what you sow, you will reap. What you wish upon my life will come back to you, only much more powerfully. Now, I want to show you the price of trying to be like Satan. And remember, if you are full of pride and full of jealousy, you are trying to be like Satan. Number one, he changed from Lucifer to Satan, which means that even the good in him was corrupted. When you try and be like Satan, you corrupt even the good gifts that God has put inside of you. You begin to corrupt it. The second thing is, he lost his place. Remember, because of his jealousy. Because of the jealousy that he allowed in his heart and the pride that he allowed in his heart, he was thrown out of the heavens. He lost his place. He had a place of honor. He had the best place in the heavens of all the angels. I'm not comparing him to Jesus. But when it came to the other angels, he was the number one. But because of his attitude, he lost it all. He lost everything that was dear to him. He was removed from God's grace and he was removed from God's presence. And I want to ask you a question. What are you without God? Just look at your neighbor and say, nothing. Nothing at all. Jealousy removes you from the grace and the presence of God. And when the pawpaw hits the fan, you better be very clever at fixing problems. Because you can't rely on God to help you. You're going to have to do it all on your own. He was consumed, or he became consumed by destruction because of envy, because of jealousy. Everything in him was corrupted that way. Once he was built for good, now he's built for destruction. And destruction follows him everywhere he goes. The price of being like Satan is humiliation. God said, I made you a spectacle before kings. When somebody makes a spectacle of you, they humiliate you. Jealous people will always experience humiliation and defeat. They will never experience upliftment and victory, because the spirit of jealousy cannot allow that to happen in your life. They experience destruction. Why? Because pride goes before destruction, and pride and jealousy run together. Demotion. Lack. Where do I get that? A haughty spirit comes before the fall. Proverbs 16 verse 18. The little you have, you will lose it. Spiritual death and cancer. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Cancer is not a nice word. A lot of us, we hear that word, we don't like it. But there's a thing worse than cancer, and that's spiritual cancer. And where do you get that? When your heart, listen to this, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. When your heart has been opened up to jealousy and envy, you allow that spirit to come in, and his cancer begins to go throughout your entire body. It can cause all sorts of havoc with your health, all sorts of havoc with your mind, all sorts of havoc with your heart, your respiratory system, your intestines, your stomach, your nerves go up and down, your blood pressure is all over the place. Hello? If you call him, he will come. And he will do whatever it takes to destroy you. Death. Envy and jealousy will kill a stupid fool. Job chapter 5 verse 2. If you do what Satan did, death will come for you. And then of course, lack of vision. Let me talk about that quickly. Both pride and jealousy sit on what part of man? The eyes. What is the purpose of your eyes? The purpose of your eyes is to give you vision. Vision shows you how to get from one place to the other. Now, spiritually speaking, without vision, the Bible says, my people perish. Okay? Now, you need your eyes, your spiritual eyes, to have vision to know where to go. If you allow the spirit of jealousy to come and sit on your eyes, it's like a man wearing dark shades. It changes your perception of life. It's like a filter sitting in front of your vision. And only what the spirit of jealousy wants to allow through will come to you. When good things are in front of you, he blocks it out. When an opportunity that will is guaranteed to lead to destruction presents itself, guess what? You see it. Ooh, that looks like a good opportunity. You invest 500,000 rand, you walk out with nothing. You see a sexy chickie, you think, oh, there's a nice wife for me. She turns out to be a witch. Come on. Hello? Why? Because you allow the spirit of jealousy to sit on your eyes and he filters what you see. He will make bad things look good and good things look bad. And you'll say, but this is not fair. How does God allow all of this stuff? He's not allowing anything. Take the goggles off. The goggles are called envy and jealousy. Now I want to share, I call it a sad reality with you. Jealousy hardly ever manifests itself through strangers. Let me give you an idea of what I'm talking about. If a stranger, let's say I'm in the middle of town, I'm driving down Market Street. Somebody that I don't know from a bar of soap looks at my car and says, you know what, that oak doesn't deserve that car. I wish it was mine. Do you think it's going to make any change to my day? No, because that person is nobody to me. Jealousy has no power through strangers. But the sad reality is that it tends to work brilliantly through the people we view as friends and family. Proverbs 17 verse 14 says, if a man pays back evil for good, evil will never leave his house. A lot of you are sitting here. You've got one of two problems. Either you are a victim of jealousy, or you are the one that puts people in bondage through your jealousy. Now, I don't know which one you are, but I want to guarantee you that you are one of those two. Maybe some of you are both. But here's the problem. It is the people that are close to us that put us in bondage, that cause, they are like the Saul and the David. David is playing the harp for Saul. That shows that there was an intimate relationship between the two of them at some point in time. And that is why Saul reacted the way that he did. Some of the people that we have with us in our life are not friends, they are snakes. Because when you turn your back, they can't wait to bite you. They can't wait to talk about you. They can't wait to break you down. And they love to allow this evil spirit to work through them. I've got news for those people. If you want him to work through you, you better be willing to go to bed with him. And let me tell you something, he's going to suck the life out of you. He will destroy your life. Proverbs 17 verse 14. If a man pays back evil for good, evil will never depart from his house. In friendship, we're supposed to look out for one another. In friendship, we're supposed to have one another's back. As family, we're supposed to be there for one another. Stand up for one another. Help one another. Support one another. But the reality is that often the only thing we get is a stab in the back because of jealousy. Need I remind you what happened between Cain and Abel, two brothers, but the one got jealous of the other one. And because of jealousy, he killed his brother. The Bible says that when you are jealous, the spirit of death will follow you. That's not the way God wants things to be. He who repays back evil for good. If I am your friend and I am good to you, I speak nice things about you, I bless you, I look out for you, I have your back with other people, but you can't wait to speak badly about me. You can't wait to release jealousy, envy against me. That scripture's for you. Evil will never depart from your house. Prepare yourself. Your life is not going to go well. I know that this is a harsh message, but I can't give it to you in a watered down version because then it won't help you. I want to say to you that God has spoken to me a lot about this stuff that I shared with you tonight. And I want to tell you that one of the spirits that I encounter more frequently than just about any other spirit when I cast them out of people is the spirit of jealousy, either in the person or working on the person because of somebody else. It looks like we've become a society that owes, we don't want anybody to have anything. We can't be happy for somebody because of what they've got. You know, somebody wins a trip overseas. Oh, flip, man, why wasn't that me? You know, that one doesn't deserve nothing. You know, they're such an idiot. It shows what's in your heart. Wait for it. He's coming for you. By the way, I have a new car. Anybody happy for me? Yay! I better not hear stories, eh? Because he's coming for you. You blessed me with thousands and thousands. Yeah, I like that. I like that. I want to tell you something. If God blesses you with something, I choose to be happy for you. I choose to be happy for you. You should choose to be happy for me or any other person that has something from God. Because if your attitude is not right, death will come. If your attitude is not right, destruction will come. And you can come 1,000 times for prayer, it will never change. You see, in the life of somebody whose attitude is wrong, in the life of somebody whose attitude is full of envy and jealousy and pride, God will not hear those prayers. He can't answer that prayer because you still give the thief place in your life. He will not give life where the thief will run away with it. You better close the door so the thief can't run away with it. Then God will start responding. I said to you that there are two characteristics here. Some people are jealous by nature and some people are victims of jealousy. Both of them are destructive. Tonight God wants to give you an opportunity to sort out your life. This might be the number one reason why some of you here tonight have nothing, are going nowhere, have no peace, have no joy, have no life, have no prosperity, are always far from good things and always receive bad news because of the attitude of your heart. Then I suggest you change it. It's still your heart, isn't it? You can still decide what you want in there and what you don't want. But you probably have to get to the place that you come before God and you mean business with Him. Humble yourself before God and He will lift you up. If this message tonight spoke to you, I invite you to come for prayer tonight. I have a feeling you all need it. And I want to say something to you. When the power of this rubbish lifts off of you, you will not believe you have the same life. Because few demons are as destructive as the ones that come through jealousy and envy. I want to dare you to be happy for me. And your family and your friends for what God blesses them with. And if God sees that attitude and He sees that you are content with what you have, He will give you increase and you will have even what you don't have right now. Amen. Can somebody give the Lord a hand, please?